Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning. Saw some of you early. Some children were asked to write down some things that represented truth to them. And here are some answers, and these are real answers from some little children. Never trust a dog to watch your food. When your dad is mad and asks you, "Do I look stupid?" don't answer him. A young boy said, "Never tell your mom her diet's not working." A 9-year-old boy said, "Stay away from prunes." Another 9-year-old said, "Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time." There's truth in that. A 15-year-old said, "If you want a kitten, start asking for a horse." A little girl said, "Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick." And one of my favorites from a little girl, "Never try to baptize a cat." Truth is one of the great debates of mankind. What is truth? We generally think of truth in two categories. There is the aspect of something being true or false based on the facts surrounding the issue. Then there is moral truth, that which is what we live our lives by, that which draws us together as the human race, that which defines who we are and what foundation we build on and walk out our physical existence. And it is that truth that philosophers throughout the ages have been pondering and searching for. Why are we here? What is the purpose of life? Is there life after we die? In our gospel reading today, Jesus is approached by a group of people called the Sadducees. Now, what do we know about the Sadducees? Well, they are a priestly people. They were the go-betweens between Israel and Rome. And they only accepted the scriptures written by Moses, that is, the Pentateuch. They rejected resurrected life, as we heard. They rejected also angels and the spiritual aspect of God. And of course, they rejected the teachings of Jesus because of the message that he brought. To them, life as we know it is all there is, and after that, you're in the grave, much like the humanist belief today. And it really bothered them that Jesus would be performing these miracles and signs and wonders that he was doing amongst the people. For example, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they were the ones that were actually trying to kill Lazarus again. They claimed that Moses never taught about such things, therefore it doesn't exist. You see, Jesus performed miracles to show that there is something more than just the physical. He taught that God wants to be an interactive in our lives. What better way than to come and walk among us? What better way than to set an example for us? Jesus was trying to convey an eternal message to anyone who would hear it. So the Sadducees set out to trick Jesus by asking this question regarding marriage. And the question centered on a Hebrew law out of Deuteronomy in the Pentateuch, that if a man dies childless, a brother will marry the widow and carry on the family name and bear her children. So they throw Jesus a hypothetical situation of a woman who is childless between 7 brothers, and then she dies. So Jesus, if there is a heaven, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? But Jesus isn't going to be fooled. He goes straight to where they were in the Pentateuch. And he goes straight to the passage that involves Moses, something they would understand, hopefully, and hear. Exodus 3:6, God said to Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." You see, God was specific in saying, "I am." I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is present tense. I am is current, not past. The indication is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are with him. They are in eternity with him. Jesus stumps them in something that they should already know. It really is hard to argue with the one who wrote the book. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. So Jesus knows about creation. He knows Moses. Remember the transfiguration. Who was there with Jesus among them? Moses and Elijah were present. What Jesus is doing here is revealing the truth of his word given to us. He revealed a living God who is actively involved with his people. I've shared with some of you about an incident when we lived in Orlando area and we would get Jehovah Witnesses at our door. Well, many would sometimes just close the door on them and not talk to them at all. If you don't already know, their theology is somewhat twisted. They're nice people, but their theology is twisted. Not so different from that of the Sadducees. Only a certain number to them would get into heaven. The only version of the Bible that they would reference at all is the King James Bible. They won't look at any other version. So when they came to our house, of course I was at work at the time, Debbie would lovingly show them where they were wrong. She went and grabbed one of our King James Bibles and showed them in Scripture. This is what this says. The next week they brought an elder of their church with them. Debbie showed the elder. This is what the King James Version says. The following week, they brought a group of elders. Debbie showed them, this is what the King James says about what you're saying. They quit coming after that. I think they ran out of elders. You see, when you show skeptics the truth, they have to do one of two things, accept it as truth or just reject it. When we take the scriptures and look at it from the context of where it is intended, from the very beginning to the end, it all comes together. God's truth is revealed. His plan for our existence is revealed. His plan for our redemption is revealed. His plan for our purpose here on this earth is revealed. His plan for his return is revealed. And his plan for eternity is also revealed. The Sadducees couldn't argue with Jesus because his truth was revealed. So they had to walk away. You see, everything we celebrate, everything and we as Christians hope for is centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have been just another prophet whose story would be lost in history. There would be no need for Christmas because Jesus would be insignificant. There would be no need for Easter because his body would still be dust in the earth. No need for Pentecost because the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come to carry out the message and to carry on the work that Jesus has given us to do. The resurrection of Jesus is the seal of the promise that was given to us. It is our assurance of life with him forever. And when a sinful body is shed away and we rise into new life, we will be in an eternal state with him. Paul tells us, so will it be when the resurrection of the dead, the body that is sown is perishable and raised imperishable. Now, how can we apply this to our lives today and walk in this truth? First, when I read this passage, I saw tremendous hope. Hope in here and now and hope in the future. The Sadducees were spiritually dead. Their hope was only in whatever their lives were wrapped into. They didn't see God active at all in our lives. He is out there somewhere. They actually had a deist mindset. I lived as a deist mindset before I came to Christ. I thought God was out there somewhere, but he's not interactive in my life. However, the truth is God really does guide us. And when we do accept him, his truth becomes real. When Jesus stated that God is the God of the living, he was also speaking about us right now. God created us for a purpose. And that is where the truth gets twisted for so many. The word created. The one thing I usually tell those who are hung up on creation versus evolution is to look around you. Look at the created order of male and female in every living thing. Look at the thousands of species, male and female. Are you trying to tell me that among all the living creatures on the earth, out of some accidental goo, came one creature, the human race, gifted with the ability to reason, gifted to build what we build, gifted to have dominion over all of creation? Look around you. Are you saying that's all an accident? It's not an accident. God created this. He created the earth to live and breathe in perfect balance for us. He created us to be in fellowship with Him. But He also gifted us with the freedom to choose. He gifted us with His Spirit to carry out His call in our lives. And that is the truth of God, who loves His creation. But we also have a hope in our future. He is offering us a place in eternity, a place among the patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith, a place where we will reside in heaven with Jesus forever, a place with no pain or suffering or fear, a place that is, we are told, is being prepared just for us. What a wonderful hope we have. But Jesus also gives a warning in the passage. He says, to those who are considered worthy will have access to this place. That's what Jesus said. If those who are worthy are the ones who are going to have eternal state of heaven, it stands to reason that some will not be worthy. Now that is a frightening thought for some people, but it doesn't have to be if you know the truth. We are all going to be somewhere. We are all created as eternal beings. If we have a relationship with Christ, we have the assurance of being with Him. That's why it's so important that we don't hide our faith. That's why you hear me talk about it so much, because everything in the gospel points to it. It's what we are about. God didn't call us to go save the world, but He did call us to be a witness in the world we're in. When we go through life, we face all sorts of conditions and pressures that are placed upon us. None of us are exempt from that. When we look at our Old Testament reading, we see Job, who was going through some tremendous testing. He was beaten down like none of us would ever, ever want to see. But Job was unfailing in his steadfastness of the Lord. Job stood on one truth that resonated through his very being. Despite all the stuff that he was up against, he stood on this: for I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Why did he say that? How could he say that going through what he did? Because he knew the truth. He knew God. And Job was not going to let go of that truth. And that is what Paul reminds us in our epistle reading. Stand firm. That means standing on the foundation of truth, that Jesus Christ is unmovable. I've heard some say that their foundation feels more like quicksand at times. There are many out there who may feel like that from time to time. Some may feel there is no hope. Some may feel there is no place for them to go. Some may feel like there is no way out of the condition they're in. But there is hope. God does hear our cry, and He does answer. And again, Paul reminds us, He has chosen us. He calls us to walk in His truth. Therefore, we are to grow in Him. And as we grow, it becomes easier and easier to stand firm on that foundation of faith that we have. And as we stand firm in His truth, we become a lifeline to others whose foundations may indeed feel like quicksand out there. They see the hope that we have. They will see the truth that does exist in us. What is truth? Well, let me tell you what it's not. It's not relative. That is, that truth is whatever you want truth to be for you. Jesus said it best. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, said that, not me. To know Jesus is to know that you have a special place with him in eternity, and to know that he is with you right now. And he wants and desires to use you right now. That is truth. That is the hope that we have in him. So I say to you, allow his truth to resonate through you. Allow his truth to come alive in you. Allow his truth to guide you through this life that we have until we reach that point to where we will be with him in the promise that he's given us to be with him forever. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the truth that you have revealed to your church. We thank you for coming to us. We thank you for all that you are doing in and through your body. So, Father, we ask that you would continue to strengthen us in that. Continue to guide us in all that you have for us. And, Father, if there's anyone here who hasn't, who does maybe feel like the ground beneath them is quicksand, I ask, Lord, that you would just come into their heart. Allow them to stand firm on the faith that you have given us. Allow them to come into the understanding and open their heart to receive you as Lord and Savior. And strengthen all of us, Lord God, as we walk through this life together and through the issues that we all go through, Father. We never know what's around the corner, but Lord, we know that you are there walking us through it. So, Father, we ask that you would strengthen us as a body, strengthen us as individuals, as we continue to reach out to you by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in a powerful way and use us. Use this parish. Use parishes all over this community, all over this country. And so, Father, we thank you, and we give it all to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.